cliffcentral.com.
Hey, yo, what's up? It's 2017 and you are listening to the Weekly Mashup. Welcome to the show. In studio, it's me, Dimisha Masha, and of course, my gorgeous, gorgeous co-host, Candice Mama. Look, take a look at that. Take a look at that little piece of candy, Mama.
How are you doing?
I'm good, and yourself?
Good. Oh my gosh, I've missed you.
How was December?
Ooh, for you? December, ne?
But
December
I
was living the best.
I see you are not working off any December weight,
huh?
Like some of us. But you are working out. I saw on Twitter.
Are you saying I'm fat?
No, I'm saying you're not. I'm saying, like, what did you do? Like, did you go to a spa? Run a marathon? start banting?
Actually, for the first time this December, I actually was drinking quite a bit for the first time.
You had some alcohol.
I had some alcohol.
Well, you know what?
First time I knew what Jamie Foxx meant. When
yeah,
he said blame
it on the alcohol, right? We should do that more.
So I'm done. I'm done for
Are
the
you
year.
Done?
I think
no,
it
that's
was
not
a
fair. I wasn't there. So you gotta do it one more time with me. Okay?
That's the butchery.
Yeah, let's be debauchers for a bit. You know what? 2017 is a year of victory. So this is our year to, like, be victorious. This is our year to overcome. This is the big one. And we've got to celebrate, like, the victory. You know, 2016 was quite a tough year.
Yeah.
And we got through it.
We did get through it.
Yeah. I mean, Prince passed away.
George Michael. Oh, that broke me.
On Christmas.
Dude.
Like, I was like, last Christmas,
I gave you my
heart, and the very next day, you just passed away. You know?
Look at you coming up with rendition.
Well, you know, I made that up on the fly. So, if you want to talk to us today on the Weekly Mashup, please, please, please WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. Have your say. Tell us how your December was, what you got up to over the festive. And also, you know what? If you're just, like, not happy about something that we said, by all means, respond. If you are happy with something that we said and you agree, by all means, respond.
I'm just like, you know what? Let's leave the past in the past.
Yeah?
If you weren't happy last year, you had plenty of opportunities to tell us this.
I got to go to Nelspruit.
Yes, you did.
Which is a quiet little city. Well, yes. Do you even call it a city?
I don't know.
I say a town in Mpumalanga, which I mean, it's a place of the rising sun, and it is one of the hottest places I have been to in my life. Like, wow.
Like, at least Sampanonale complexion.
Hey, you know, at least, like, this is real. You know what I mean? This is not because I'm not spending time in the sun. I realize that this is mine for life. I got this. God gave it to me. You know, I'm a half yellow bone for life.
Half.
Yeah, half yellow.
I think they call you coffee. What?
Yeah, cappuccino.
Mocha. Yeah, it's a cappuccino. You're right.
And then the rest of the time I spent in Pretoria, Komahlanyeng, mostly in Mamelodi. Pretoria.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Where's that?
I've never heard of the place.
Oh, no, Pretoria Komahlanyeng. That's what they call it. Because everyone's crazy there.
Oh.
Yeah. No, everyone is like, you know, I spent a lot of time in Mamelodi.
Yeah.
Mamelodi, massive. Shout out. I mean, everybody's like, if you want to have a party where there's absolutely no bullshit, you know what I mean? Like, people just go out to have a good time.
Yeah.
Go to Mamelodi.
But can you? Like you being who song. You are.
I can so totally go to Mamelodi.
Like, don't people say, myself. Oh, get to Misho Masha.
You know, sometimes I just take a look, but generally they just, like, get on with what they're doing. I met this really amazing dude. You must have him on the show. His name is Mzwandile, right?
Okay.
How I met him, I went into this, I suppose you call it a lounge.
Yeah.
You know, drinking spot. Late at night, it's about to close. This guy just comes up to us.
Yeah.
And he just starts talking, you know, but he is super funny. Like, he's making shit up on the fly. Like, he's talking about everybody in the spot, you know?
And that guy. I love that guy at a party.
It's just, there's just people like that all the time. And people love to dance in Mamelodi. So if you want to have a great time and you really want to go out where there's great music and dancing and friendly people and really good looking women, come to Mamelodi. Yo, Candy.
No, I'm going to be there.
Just our next scene, Da Jay. You just average there. You're somebody out here in Joburg, but there you just like another girl.
And I'm not laughing.
I know you think you're all that.
I'm laughing at, you know what, whatever.
Okay, all right, all right. Whatever. Let's jump right into the show.
Yes.
We've got a jam-packed show for you today. I'm going to start off with basically the numerology of 2017.
You know, really, this is my ish. I love this.
Really?
Like numerology, really, astrology.
You know what? I'm really into numbers,
me
honestly.
Too.
Yeah. And I believe that every number has a specific, I don't know, code behind it, right? So for me, though, I went out and did my numerology based on my, for 2017.
Okay.
Based on, you know, and you got to do this for yourself based on your own beliefs. So for for mine, it was the number 17, which is 2017, and what it has for you from a biblical point of view.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, go ahead.
And number one, I just want to say that before I even kick off, the other thing is that 2017 is the only year for another 852 years that's going to have four Sundays, four Mondays, four Tuesdays, four Wednesdays, four Thursdays, four Fridays, and four Saturdays in February. We're going to have four of everything, right?
That's unbelievable.
This happens once every, I suppose, 1,000 years.
Yeah. Right?
If you look at 852, there's not much change from 1,000 there. So it's a special year in many ways. But anyway, let me start right now with my numerology chart.
Okay.
And you know, the number 17 in the Bible signifies overcoming the enemy and complete victory.
Love that.
Excuse me. In this year, 2017, you'll be an overcomer, and this is your year of victory. You will be victorious.
Yes.
See, Genesis 2017, actually, and all the 2017s, like all the Bible verses
that
have a chapter 20.
Oh, and a 17.
And a verse 17.
Okay.
Say this. Genesis says, Abraham prayed and God healed Abimelech. So you'll receive divine healing in 27.
Okay.
Numbers 2017 says, you will pass through your enemies to your promised land in 2017. Deuteronomy 2017 says, you will utterly destroy your enemies in the year 2017. This
Damn.
Is what's there. Just look it up.
Yeah, enemies beware.
Judges 2017, you will be a man of war to conquer in this year 2017.
Wow.
Now, obviously, ladies, man and woman in a biblical sense. Well, man signifies like human, so we're including you as well. Samuel, 1 Samuel 2017 says you will experience true love of God in the year 2017. This is actually what's written at these spots in the Bible.
Yeah.
2 Samuel 2017 says you will hear God speak to you and give you direction.
Damn.
2 Chronicles says 2017, God will fight your battle. Right? And John 2017 says, our God, the God Almighty, will be your Father and your God. So 2017, the year of divine provision, where God has given the vision, he will surely give you the provision.
Damn, see?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, what are you going to tell us?
Wow. Okay, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
But in the new...
this camera's still on me. Can you put it on for a while?
Because I'm recording.
Yes.
So basically, what I know about numerology and the non-biblical numerology is where I know last year was a nine. Okay, so the year was a nine.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, a nine is an end of a cycle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's ending. So like, that's why a lot of stuff happened last year, because everything was being destroyed.
A lot of things ended in my life. Just ended.
Yes, boo. And so a nine is ending. It symbolizes the ending of things and destruction, as we saw last year. And then this year,
and Donald Trump winning the American election.
If that's not destructive, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm.
And then a one, which is the year we're in now, because the cycle completed.
So
now we're in a one. One is about leadership, personal empowerment, accountability, responsibility. And if you take your life into your own hands this year, you can really become something, you know.
Oh,
and your dreams can really be accomplished this year, because everything in the stars are aligned for things to go well this year.
Wow.
So I'm excited. I think it's going to be an incredible year.
I think so too. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's about just believing. That's the most important thing. Life is about what you believe it's going to be. And even if sometimes things turn out not the way you completely saw it as, you just got to keep going.
You do.
My biggest lesson, I think, that I went away and, you know, I was just sitting and reflecting on the year, getting some much needed rest, getting a sense of, I suppose, understanding of what I went through in 2016.
Yeah.
But what I came away with is, you know, we sometimes tend to dwell in the valley instead of going through the valley. As Winston Churchill once said, if you find yourself going through hell,
keep going.
Right? And at the end of the day, you just got to keep going. You got to stand up. No one's going to help you with that. You got to do it yourself.
You have to.
And you got to keep trying. Because at the end of the day, life and death happen to us all. Are you going to live the rest of your life worried about what has happened? Are you going to live the rest of your life worried about what may or may not come? Or are you just going to go with it and see what happens? A lot of the times, people will say things like, oh, don't go there. You know, sometimes I find my parents say, you want to go to Mamelodi at this time of the night? You know, it's dangerous. And they grew up in Mamelodi, right? Like, you know.
Even I'm looking at you side-eye.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Don't look at me side-eye. They're just concerned. And at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, I'm going to go there. If something happens, it was my day. But I'm going there with...
Fearless.
Yeah, a sense of fearlessness. Because I'm expecting good things. And I'm going to walk away with good things.
Yeah.
And even if bad things happen, I can still learn something from that.
It's a setup.
And I actually can gain. It's always a setup. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Because actually, I realize that all the tough things that I went through personally were just a setup for something greater and something bigger and an opportunity to also reinvent myself, which is
that's important haircut. Though look at the haircut, y'all.
Hello.
Like, flex for the camera. Yes, yes.
Call me. WhatsApp me. Us, the number is 079-748, as I said, 2090. I'm going to say that again, 079-748-2090. And WhatsApp Candace.
Yeah.
Or myself.
WhatsApp us. Us.
WhatsApp us.
Yeah. No, but you know what? I actually think that this year, for me personally, there's two mantras I'm going to live by. Firstly, I'm going to say no.
Oh, yeah?
No.
No.
No with no apologies. No with no justification.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm just going to say no.
No.
And because I just feel like I haven't been practicing my no powers to their full effect. And then another thing is I want to live unapologetically and fearlessly.
That's dope.
You know, and I think when you can get those two right, then I think you can achieve anything. Because
every time
you think about, like, oh, what's this one going to think? What's society going to say? What's this one?
Yeah.
Then you put yourself in a dump, you know, because people are going to talk regardless.
I would always say this. I would rather hear a quick no than a long maybe.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And no is a very powerful thing to say. Sometimes no is more powerful than yes.
Yes.
Saying no to things that waste your time in your life. Sometimes saying no to people who are there to just be negative.
Yes.
Sometimes saying no to certain things. Like, I find, especially with jobs and career and that sort of thing, you know, I'm a freelancer.
Yeah.
And I've learned to say no
to
things that just waste my time.
Right.
Here is my mantra that I live by.
Yes.
If the client is already asking for a discount at the time that we're negotiating this, they're going to be difficult and probably pay you late anyway by the time you're finished. So don't just take a job because you're worried that you don't have anything at the moment and it doesn't fit all the criteria that you had set for yourself.
Yes.
Be okay with saying no and letting something slide, because at the end of the day, something better is going to come your way that wouldn't have been able to, because there wouldn't have been space for it, because you would have been busy doing that other thing that had a long maybe, instead of saying a big, quick, straight no.
But that's what Mark Cuban said. He said, you always be willing to walk away from a deal.
Yeah.
And that basically means if your service is worthy, people will always come back. The people who are giving you a hard time about, oh no, I can't afford it. Okay, come back to me when you can.
Exactly.
You know, and when you do that, they know your value and they will come back.
Exactly.
You know, so I think that's a very important lesson. I think it's important to say no. And I think 2017 is a year to say no to the things that you know aren't beneficial to you, and yes to the things that you know can help you in the long run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to watch a great movie. How many movies did I watch? I watched a couple, but I went to the cinema just once, I think, recently this December.
Yeah.
And I went to watch Hacksaw Ridge, the new movie by Mel Gibson.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You said they had quite a few life lessons.
Yeah, starring, I forgot his first name, but his surname is Garfield. Spider-Man. He was Spider-Man.
Yes, Andrew Garfield.
Garfield.
Yes.
Awesome movie. You know, I love Mel
Gibson.
Awesome guy as well, Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, it's not
awesome actor. Yeah. Mel Gibson, though.
He's an asshole.
I like him because, like,
he's an asshole.
He's unapologetic about being an asshole.
A true story.
Like,
you gotta respect that.
He's like, you know what? At the end of the day, this is who I am. Take it
or leave it. Thank you.
Either you love me
or you leave me alone.
That's Mel Gibson for you, right?
Yes.
But what I like about Mel Gibson, he's got principles. He's got certain principles, and they come through in every single movie of his.
Yeah.
And one of his biggest principles is, I think he makes movies that, as a director especially, you can always take something away from. So Hacksaw Ridge is basically a movie set in World War II.
Okay.
if you are squeamish and you don't like blood and gore and guts everywhere, this is probably not the kind of movie for you to watch.
Okay.
But it has some amazing principles in it, because it's about a young man at the start of World War II in America, who decided that he was going to go enlist in the army and go to war.
Yeah.
And his principles were that he would never carry a gun and he would not kill in a war.
Wow.
He was going there to help.
Wow.
And now you can imagine back in 1940 or 1939, some guy coming in and saying, I'm not going to carry a gun.
That's crazy.
He was labeled a coward. He was labeled all sorts of things. But actually, he was the most courageous man on the battlefield, because he went out there and decided that he was going to be a medic and he was going to help people in any way that he could, especially his fellow soldiers.
Yeah.
Without carrying a gun. And he goes through military training. He almost gets kicked out of the military, but somehow miraculously, because he stuck to his guns and he stuck to his principles, literally, he makes it to this war.
Wow.
And Hacksaw Ridge is actually a real ridge that was in the east in Asia, that there was a battle that took place between the Americans and the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy rescued 75 soldiers on his own.
What?
In one night without a gun.
What?
And in fact, he even managed to save some Japanese people's lives as well, some Japanese soldiers' lives as well, while he was at it.
Wow.
So his principles were based on, basically, he doesn't want to kill, because that's what he heard from God, and that's what he was going to do.
Okay.
So I took away my five principles that can work for you in 2017 from the movie Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah.
So, one, pick a side, right? Mm. Get a principle you believe in and stick to it, right? Mm.
Conviction. That's conviction.
Yeah, be convicted. Like in 2017, decide
and
which side of
it.
The fence you're going to be on and stick to it.
God,
just stick to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But remember, two, everything costs, and the most important things cost the most.
Mm.
So, what happened with this guy is, as soon as he decided that this was his principle, that very same principle was challenged.
Yes.
He had to go to court. He was beaten up by his fellow platoon while they were still training, because they believed that he wouldn't help them in battle and he was a coward. And no one helped him, but he stuck to what his principles were.
Yeah.
And in the end, the cost that he paid was far less than what he got out of sticking to his principles.
Wow.
So, like I was saying, you know, if there are things that you don't want in your life anymore, and they're going to cost you, because walking away from relationships is always going to cost. It's going to cost you heartbreak.
Mm.
It's going to cost you loss, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
But if that's what you need to do, you need
to walk away from it.
And be prepared to pay for the cost.
Yeah.
If your principles this year say that you are going to work better, harder, and maybe deserve what you're worth, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to say, no, thank you, we can't afford you.
And some people will just be more comfortable with you being who you were.
Exactly.
So they don't want you to grow.
Yeah, so you're gonna meet a lot of, that's
resistance.
The cost, resistance.
Yeah.
But just push through.
Yeah.
The third one, by the way, Winston Churchill said this just before we go past this, you got to pay the cost to be the boss.
Yeah.
He also said, you will pay a price for your principles, right? And if you have enemies, good. That means you stood up for something sometime in your life.
That's amazing.
Number three, no passion, no point, baby.
Oh.
Like, don't do it if you don't love what you're doing, if you don't want to be there.
Yes.
If your heart's not in it, then nothing else will happen.
Because there's nothing worse than someone who's living an uninspired life. And it shows in everything they do.
Exactly. Mm. I'm like, don't be half-assed about life.
Yes.
Be whole-assed.
Yeah. Show us your whole ass. God
you know
damn
what
it.
I mean?
Yeah.
And you know what? You got to love what you do.
True.
You got to love people. I think those are the things that I remember.
A life of service, I think.
Yeah,
well,
of service.
Because I think when you love people, you dedicate more of yourself to helping.
That's right.
And you're not destructive. So you're not out there trying to destroy people or... You know, so I think that's the service. That's a life of service, really.
That's so true, because actually what passion is really about, it's about doing something for a greater cause than what you're going to gain in the short term.
Yeah.
So if it's a career move, think about the reason why you want that career move.
Yeah.
Apart from you want a
more
raise
or
you want more status.
Yes.
How are you going to be helping people with what you're doing?
Exactly.
And once you have that, like... Everything else will just fall into place. Everything else will just fall into place. And then number four is, the battlefield of life is dirty and dangerous. but he who dares most wins. Wow. You know, watching this film, you get a real sense of what a battlefield looks like.
Yeah.
And there's explosions going off. There are gunshots going off. Mm. And it's quite random a lot of the time, you know?
So you're never ready.
Yeah, you're never ready.
Yeah.
It's like, it's hectic. It's dirty. There's dead people everywhere.
Mm.
There's blood and guts everywhere.
Yeah.
And the one thing I saw about this, which I think is like life, even the people that you thought they're going to definitely make it through this battle, like the steadying type guys, you know, the ones with the big muscles that can shoot well, whatever, they're usually the first people to get shot.
Oh, damn.
Because it's so random.
Oh, thank goodness. Well, at least everything's a surprise.
It's exactly that, right? So what I'm trying to say with that is there are going to be tough days, weeks and months, but you got to soldier on. Because in a battle, the only way to win is to keep going forward.
Oh, yes.
As soon as your squad or you yourself decide you're going to hang back, you are not going to overcome the enemy.
That's true.
You're not going to win. You got to keep going forward. You got to understand that when you're going forward, you need your people to cover you, your fellow soldiers. So they're shooting, you move forward.
Yeah.
So in life, God's got you covered.
Yeah.
And once God's got you covered, you step out and you do what you need to do. You step out in faith. Because if you don't step out, you won't win the battle.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say with that one.
But I love it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you know what was great is there was one scene, you know, where I was saying like he actually literally saved 75 people.
Mm.
And what he did is, he stayed up there. Hacksaw Ridge is like a cliff.
Yeah.
They're at the top of this cliff.
Okay.
Everyone climbs up at the beginning of the day. They fight. And then at the end of the day, they come down again.
Yeah.
The Japanese soldiers stay on top.
Oh, okay.
Because they had that ridge.
Yeah.
But they were like in underground bunkers and all sorts of things like that. So this guy decides to stay up there by himself after all the other soldiers have retreated and gone back.
Oh, man.
And what he does is he's looking for any soldiers that are still alive.
Hmm.
And he's just like lifting them up, one man, taking them and taking them down the side of this cliff on a rope.
Yeah.
And he did that 75 times. And every time he was like, he was finished, exhausted. You're thinking this is the last person he can save. He goes, just one more, God. And he crawls through, you know, and gets one more life. And he says this a couple of times, just one more, God. And by the time that he's finished, 75 people have been rescued.
Damn.
So, you know, even though you might take
a
lot of hits.
Life of conviction.
You know what I mean? Even though it might get tough.
Yeah.
Even though you might fall on your ass, get up and just say, just one more, God.
But you know, that's the thing. I feel like people think, especially maybe in the media industry but in life in general, people think that, you know, one setback equals quitting. It means it means that you're not supposed to be doing
even 10
that.
Setbacks.
10 setbacks. And I feel like, especially in this industry or because I'm in this industry, so I'm not speaking on others, but you're going to get a lot of setback and you're going to get a lot of resistance and you're going to get a lot of times where people want you to compromise your morality.
That's right.
To get certain opportunities.
That's right.
And saying no to that, I mean, everyone's like, oh, it's easy to say no. No, it's when you've been hustling at something for a long time, it's not easy to say no. But
that's true.
Saying no means that you'll have your soul intact by the time you achieve your dreams and your goals. So it's really about having that faith to say that regardless of what anyone says, this is my path and I'm going to walk it. And I'm going to fight for it. And when people say to you, oh no, don't you think it's time to quit? Then it's time to quit that person and that relationship. And you keep on moving because it's not a path whereby no one's path in life can be maneuvered by negativity.
That's right.
You know, you need positive people and you need to be able to rely on yourself and say, when all else fails, I've still got me.
That's true.
And that's, you know, I think that's what people need to do.
I mean, you know, you're in the media industry, you're in the entertainment, you a speaker, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, our industry sometimes is beset with that notion that if you are an attractive young woman, the only way to make it through is by basically letting go of your principles.
Oh, yeah.
Either A, by sleeping with a producer or a director or someone who can give you a job.
Mm-hmm.
B, things are tough, find a blesser at least.
Yeah.
So that you can keep
survive.
Looking good in the meantime.
My hair can stay green.
While you're waiting for that opportunity. Yeah, your hair can stay green, right? Cost money. Or C, compromise yourself in some other way on social media by either posting
naked
or posting anything that you would otherwise not do that would compromise you in the long run, but that might get you a lot of followers up front, right? And get you noticed.
Yes.
How do you, as Candy Mama, go about making sure that you don't compromise yourself, even when it gets tough. Because I'm sure there are times when even your family's like, so when are you going to get that breakthrough? Like, hey, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, it's so funny. I was actually speaking to my mom now, and we were saying that there was a time actually that I went through a stage of, I'd call it depression, and it was just before the cliffs. Well, it was before everything in my life really started to change, and it was about 2 years ago. And literally everyone in my family was like, don't you think it's time?
Don't you think it's time to just get serious and do something normal?
Like, can you just be like everyone else?
Yeah, like go get a job.
Exactly. You know. And there were times when I've been presented, you know, some of the people I've been in a relationship with or involved with, and I've been presented with the easy way out, you know, where I could have said, let me just be in a relationship with this person or marry this person and my life will be easy. You know, I'll never become anything, but I'll get that fame. You know, but then I realized I'm not doing this for fame. I'm doing this because it's a calling, and it's something that I feel is my firstly the public speaking. I feel it's a message that needs to be heard, and secondly, with the radio and the TV stuff, I feel like I'm going to achieve what I want to achieve, but I'm going to do it on my terms, because when I get there, I don't want anyone holding like an axe over my head.
Yeah,
and
you know, someone in the shadows, anytime now, I'm going to tell them.
Don't forget I made you.
Yeah, or I'm going to tell them what you did.
Because sleeping with one eye open for success is really it's not a life, right?
You don't enjoy it.
Exactly, you don't enjoy it. And I want to be happy.
You want to
enjoy happy
it.
Right now.
Yeah, that's good. Keep it up.
Like, I want to remain happy, and I don't want my demons to always be haunting me. And I think then it makes it easier when you operate from a place of conviction and you say, I know what I'm worth. And if you're not willing to pay it now, it's fine. You'll come back and you will pay the price.
But don't you think that sometimes that's also about just being cool with the fact that maybe right now it's not working the way I have in mind, the way I wanted to, the way that my principles have aligned themselves.
Yeah.
But even though it's not working now and everyone else is saying, but you know, so-and-so. Like,
All is
I suppose for men, the difference would be if you're going into business, just give the guy something under the table, you know, something and you'll get this business and you'll get started.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of guys who are out there who've done well in business. And it's like everyone else is going, well, you know, actually, this guy compromised his own principles, but he's doing well.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, you know, the end justifies the means. And you're sitting there going, no, my means justifies my end, because what I'm trying to do is, I want this the right way, whether it takes me longer to succeed or not. But once I have it, it's completely mine. Because I found that when you have compromised somewhere along the way, you might get what you want.
Oh, but will
it's
you
definitely
pay?
Not yours. And you will have to pay at some point.
Oh, yeah.
You have to pay dues.
Yeah.
You know
but
I mean?
You know, it's kind of like, what's that story? I love the story. It's a fable, a school fable. And it's basically, is it the Pied Piper?
The Pied Piper.
The Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, Rumpelstiltskin.
So, yes. And Rumpelstiltskin comes to you and he offers you your heart's desires. But there's always a term and condition. But he sells it to you in such a way that you're like, yes, you know, I'm going to be this. I'm going to do this. And then when you sign a deal with him, the condition is always greater than what you received.
Exactly.
So I'd rather operate in faith, and I'd rather operate in a clean environment where my convictions remain true and take just a lot longer to get there than have to rely on drugs to get me through, because I can't sleep at night.
Yeah.
You know, so for me personally, it's an easy choice to make.
Or having all that money and being totally miserable and then spending it all badly just
because
to make yourself feel better, right?
Because
you're trying to fill that void. Just in case you don't know the story of Rumpelstiltskin.
Yes.
In case you never read it before. Not everyone reads every single fairy tale. I love Rumpelstiltskin because the story of this young woman who's basically caught up in a situation in her life that is very difficult and she can't get out of it. She's basically weaving. She's been told to weave straw into gold, and she doesn't know how she's going to do that, right? And isn't that life? Like, you take the crap of life
and you make it into,
you weave it into gold.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just got to sit there by that loom, man, and take the straw and just keep practicing and keep practicing until you learn how to turn into gold.
Yeah.
But someone comes along by the name of Rumpelstiltskin and says, I can help you do this. I can do it for you, actually.
Shit. You ain't even got to be sitting here.
You know what I mean? The blesser. He's the blesser in the story. And he was kind of short and awkward looking as well.
A proper blesser.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he comes into the story and he says, I can help you do this on one condition.
Yeah.
That when you have your firstborn, because if she could weave the straw into gold, she was going to marry the prince. When you have your firstborn with the prince, you are going to give me your firstborn child.
Mm.
And at that time, I suppose,
she was just like, I don't even want kids right now. Yeah. I don't even think I'm going to have kids.
Isn't that exactly what happens in life, where you're thinking, well, you know what? this whole marriage thing or this life that I thought about, maybe it's not for me anyway.
Yes,
maybe
yes.
I don't even want kids. Yeah. You make like these horrible mistakes when you're young, you know, where even like sleeping with the wrong people because you're thinking, but you know what, I'll never have kids anyway. So at the moment, maybe I don't even need to use protection because this guy is saying, if I give it to him without protection, he will give me all of this and all of that.
Yeah.
And who knows what the consequences of that may be. But you're thinking, right now, I don't really care.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the same thing with Rumpelstiltskin, right? And it so turns out that he helps her make this straw turn into gold. Mm. And she marries the prince. And then he comes back when she's just had her first
and
baby.
And she's forgotten. By the way, totally Rumpelstiltskin like leaves your life.
He does,
you
eh?
Know? He disappears completely from
and you
that
think
period.
You're free.
Yes, you're like oh, he's
years.
Forgotten. Yeah.
Like, ah.
And you've even forgotten almost.
Yeah.
You know, because you've told yourself,
I
would have done it anyway.
This.
Yes.
I'm the one who made this great deal with Rumpelstiltskin. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a deal maker.
Yes.
And then 10 years later, Rumpelstiltskin is like, yo, hey, what's up? You got to pay the piper. I need that firstborn. Time for my baby.
Yeah.
And, you know, fairy tales have a happy ending. But I really believe in fairy tales because I think life generally has a happy ending. You just got to keep reading. You know, you just got to keep going. So what happens is he says, if you can remember my name and who I am, okay, I will let you keep
your baby.
Your baby.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is remember what my name is. And how strange is that?
Mm.
That 10 years later, Rumpelstiltskin is coming back and says, do you remember who I am? Mm. And that's all she had to do. She had to actually say to him, this is who you are.
Mm.
And in so doing, be okay with being exposed at that time.
Yes.
You know, a lot of the times, I think that, and I've gone through it myself, where you're struggling with something. You're struggling with a concealed sin. You're struggling with something that you feel you've done that is so bad, no one will ever forgive you for it. So you don't want to say it to anybody else. And you're just struggling with it by yourself. You're just carrying this thing. And this thing is like hovering over you going, I will expose you.
And every day
I will
you're
expose
thinking,
you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And every day you're thinking, I'm going to get exposed just now. But you're not getting what you need to help you get over this thing. And the moment you name it, you say Rumpelstiltskin, that's when Rumpelstiltskin disappears.
Oh, I love that story.
Dope,
yes.
Dope.
No, but I love it. I think that's what life is, though. Like, you're going to go through challenges and you're going to go through setbacks. And as soon as you realize that everything in life requires some sort of payment, and that payment is your hard work and your sweat and your tears and those nights where you question yourself, you know, because sometimes people see the end result and they don't see the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, I wish my life was like yours. And you're looking at them like, what?
Yeah.
Because you know the kind of work you have to put in to acquire certain things.
Yeah, and the sleepless nights.
The sleepless nights.
Working throughout the night.
The countless proposals. Because when you're a freelancer like we are, I mean, you are forever submitting something to someone.
The number of times people keep telling you
presentations.
No, you know, you really think this is a done deal. The funders are going to come through.
Exactly.
And sometimes they're almost there and they just don't.
And then you're just like, because then as soon as you learn the principle that when you turn a no into a not yet,
that's
when your life can change.
That's
because
true.
Then you don't take things so personally. Ooh. Because I think initially when I started, because I started out so young, it was like everything I took as a hard knock to myself. Ooh. And I was like, oh, but why me? Like, why don't people like me? And then when I was like, I don't care about people liking me no more.
Yeah,
I like me.
Yeah, and that's enough, right?
And that's enough.
You are enough.
Exactly. And I think that's the one principle. If everyone could actually understand it and say, I am enough, then that is what would change our lives.
I think also that idea that you have that walk of shame after you've gone to some presentation, you've promised everybody, this is the big one, I'm prepared.
And you told your family.
You know,
and everyone's excited.
Yeah, they you know, when we spoke before this meeting, they seemed like they really wanted to hear my story and what it was that I was going to offer them.
Yeah.
And then after they say no, just thinking now the walk of shame back home.
How am I going to explain this,
right?
Yeah.
And getting over that and just saying, you know what? You don't win them all, but you just got to keep fighting and keep getting up.
But you know the irony? Something happened to me. Like, I think it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it was someone that I presented to a year and a half ago. And I was like, this person, like, did they even hear me? They were so interested and then they weren't. And then they contacted me like after like a year and a half and they're like, you made such an impact back then, but the only problem is we didn't have the money for you.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I'd have liked to hear it back then.
You know what I mean? I needed it then.
But then you realize that sometimes the divine timing is not your timing and you've got to accept that and keep it moving.
Because you
can't let it cripple you.
Sometimes you're just going through a season of planting and you got to remember that all those nights, writing those proposals, going to those meetings, presenting those proposals, is you planting those seeds all over the place.
Yes.
And at some point, seeds turn into harvest.
Mm.
And when harvest time comes, it's what you did before that is actually going to benefit you.
Mm.
So things like always waiting to gain before you give,
yeah,
is very counterproductive.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, you've planted no seeds. So when harvest time comes around, when summer rolls in, there's nothing for you there,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So you got to keep planting seeds. You got to keep doing for people.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes even in your business life, you just got to keep saying, I'm going to keep just trying until actually something does happen.
Because yeah,
1 year, a year later, they might call you back. Now, we still have the number five,
okay,
principles of life that I learned from Hacksaw
yes,
Ridge.
Yes, please.
And that is, there's only one way to do life, really. At the end of it all, what I realized, I mean, you know, the end of the movie, you see real footage, like pictures and a clip of this guy when he was like 80 something
yeah,
years later.
Mm.
And he's this big hero now. And
now everyone believes in his conviction.
You know what I mean? And he's talking. And he's an old man. And you realize that a lot of the people that didn't have the same conviction as him have passed on. They're long gone.
Yeah.
But the guy who took the most fire, the guy who was in the most danger,
yeah,
outlived them all. And my point is this. There's only one way to do life, and that's your own way.
Yes.
When you look back in hindsight, you'll see that a lot of the struggles that you went through don't really matter.
Hmm.
You know, when you're...
They were minute.
Even scale, though that they seem like they were huge at the time, they don't really matter. And everyone's going to have an opinion on your life and how you should be living it.
Oh.
Especially when you're in a point where you're failing, you know?
Oh, doesn't everyone got something to say when you're not doing well?
Oh my gosh, don't they just...
And everyone's got their expert opinion on how you should live your life.
Dude.
They don't know how to live theirs, but I mean, they know how you should live yours.
Look at relationships, right? Every time, like, it comes to an end, don't you hate it when that friend, brother, cousin, mom, dad...
I told you so.
Kind of, yeah, you know.
And you're like...
This is where you went wrong. You know what I mean? Like, you could have told me so then, you know? And also, just in terms of, like, actually, I don't need you to tell me so at any point. Like... I'm going to do my best. I'm sometimes going to succeed and I'm sometimes going to fail.
And that's okay.
And there's nothing me or you can do about that. All I need you to do is when I have been shot down in that battlefield,
just
carry me, sew me up, stitch me up.
Love me.
Love me. Get me ready to go back out there.
Right.
You know, this whole notion, you know, one thing I keep hearing from even my lawyer was like, yo, dude, I just hope that you don't try this marriage thing again. And if you do, come to me for a really watertight prenup, you know?
Yeah.
And for a while, I was like, you know, maybe they're right. I mean, doing it wrong anyway. But actually, at the end of the day, people don't really have a right to speak into your life like that. Because it doesn't matter how many times you fail, you can still get up and try again. And you probably should.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you have a conviction in your heart about what it is that you want in your life, you must just go ahead and do it. And sometimes you're going to do life in a way that just doesn't meet society's, I suppose,
standards.
Ideas or standards of how life should be lived, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we're going to die. We're all going to die. There are no guarantees.
Yeah.
In a war situation, there's bullets flying everywhere and they're random. So I got hijacked last year.
Yes.
And I realized that there have been many other times where I could have died, but I'm still here, right? And sometimes I could have lived my life more safely, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
I could have stayed at home more. I could have, you know, done a lot of things that were far more healthier in conventional terms.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm still here.
Exactly.
You know, Winston Churchill, and I'm not by any means saying you must live your life like this guy, but he started smoking cigars when he was 12. He died in 98.
What?
He drank a shot of whiskey before he even got out of bed. Just so that he can brush his teeth.
Yeah.
Drank the whole day. The whole day.
But he was still Winston Churchill. You know,
he lived to 98, yo.
Oh, man.
Or 90 something anyway.
Yeah.
So you never know. All I'm saying is you never know. I'm not advocating a negative lifestyle anyway.
Yes.
What I'm advocating is just
living a full life.
You live a full life, even if that life might not be the standard by which someone else lives their life.
Yeah.
Because they're living theirs.
And that's the important thing to remember, I think. I think people, we're so afraid of making mistakes.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the only way you get to live and learn in life is when you do make mistakes. And as soon as you say, I'll never love again, I mean, I don't think there's anything more damn foolish. Like, I mean, I love loving. I love being in love. I love being in relationships. Yes, those things end.
Yeah.
Terribly.
Sometimes. Doesn't always have to be that way.
Yeah.
But it usually
I don't
is.
Know why they make it bad. But
yeah, yeah. But and it's always the other person, isn't it? It's never
all
you.
Those, all those. Look at me. I would never.
Yeah, you know.
But like, I mean, you know, they end. But at the end of the day, that doesn't stop me from pursuing other love, you know, because love is beautiful. And just like anything else, career, you know, just because you end up in a bad space in your career and you know it's your purpose doesn't mean you need to stop pursuing that. Maybe in the space you're in, you need to stop pursuing it. But you can move from that space and go pursue it elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, so I think for 2017, if people could abolish the fear, like, what are people going to say? People are going to say what they're going to damn say.
You know what I realized last year?
Yeah.
There's so many people that hate you already anyway.
Right?
And they're just waiting to say something.
They're just waiting for that moment you to fuck up.
So it doesn't matter how you live your life. There's someone who's going to object to it anyway. So just live your life.
You know what? You are going to, if they are not talking about you, you are not doing something.
You know what I mean?
They say
weakness is something that you just have by doing nothing.
Yes.
Jealousy, you got to earn.
You have to earn jealousy. And as soon as people stop caring about who you are and what you're doing, then you must know.
Then you must know.
You are doing something wrong.
You're doing something wrong.
You're doing something so wrong.
I posted something like that beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Where I was like, if you didn't like me in 2016, you're going to hate me in 2017.
Mm.
And this, you know, there are always those people on social media. This one lady writes back, oh, that's so self-absorbed and shallow. And oh my goodness, like, why'd you have to write that? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you really didn't.
you didn't need to take time out of your day to tell me that.
You know what I mean? You didn't need to take time out of your busy,
life.
full and deep life.
Thank you.
That you're so busy doing for other people to tell me that. So I just said to her, you know, you have many options. One of them is to unfollow.
Hello.
You can feel free to unfollow, because I can feel free to block, mute, or delete your ass. And I've realized that there's always going to be somebody who has the time to want to say something to somebody that's negative.
Yeah.
Right?
Because you must remember, there are a lot of people that aren't living their life to their full potential.
Yeah.
So they're bitter when they see other people living their life to their full potential. So they want you to feel the unhappiness they feel. You know, because I think the best thing I've learned is Don Miguel Ruiz said, he said, don't take anything personally, you know, because anything anyone else does is because of them and it's not because of you.
Hey.
You know, and that is a truth.
Amen.
I mean, what people do is purely based on how they feel and how they associate with the world. You know, if people are good to you, it's because they associate the world in a good way.
Yeah.
If they're not good to you, then they don't associate. And that is not your problem.
It's not your problem.
You know, you are not here to fix everybody.
No, that's a waste of time trying to fix everybody else's problems. You got enough of your own, damn it. And the other thing that I've learned is, you know, I'm also on social media a lot. There's a lot of posts that are not exactly to my taste. And I use the word taste specifically, because just because I don't like it or I find it offensive doesn't mean that it necessarily is to everybody else. It's just how I feel about it, react to it based on my life's experiences, right? I don't actually have to, and I don't have the time anyway, to go and write to that person and tell them how
I
feel.
I don't like you.
You know what I mean? Unless it's something that I feel really it's important to me, but I never take it to that it's a personal attack on you. It's an attack on your ideas or your ideals or what you're saying right there that might be off, but not you.
I think this year people need to stop taking things so personally, because you can attack someone's idea in a productive way without having to attack the person. And I think society has gotten to such a point where we start attacking the person when we start losing what we are actually saying, because we understand that it makes no sense.
Exactly.
You know, so I think it's just a mind shift. Like, people need to really change the way they relate to the world.
Yeah. So having said all that, what are your plans for 2017?
I'm actually super excited
for
2017.
Give us your dream list, your wish list, your to-do list.
I'm not giving my full dream list.
Okay,
because,
that's okay.
Yeah, so
some things are confidential.
Yeah. This year I want to stay single. Not that that's that hard for me.
Okay.
Everyone's listening like, what's new?
You got a lot of suitors.
You've been looking at me like,
no, I'm looking at you
new?
like, how are you going to do that? Someone's going to ask you out sooner or later.
No, they do.
You're probably going to say yes.
I'm probably going to say yes.
You're going to say yes. And
no,
gents,
no, no, no.
Here's the thing, right? I think everybody has a certain number of no's in them. You just keep asking and asking and asking, and they'll get to their last no and eventually say yes.
No. I think this time I'm truly, I think this is my selfish year. I've vowed to make 2017 my selfish year, and that is to say no more often to things that, you know, I do not believe in, and to say yes to things that, you know, are good. I mean, I'm not going to turn away, like, if Brad Pitt comes to my door. Oh, okay, he's got a luggage load of kids, but so I might say no. But he's
Angelina really doesn't want him to have any access to the kids.
So he might not have kids.
So he might not have kids. And definitely there'll be a little bit of baby mama drama in terms of just him trying to visit his kids. But outside of that, she doesn't really care then.
But yes, I'm not going to turn away every opportunity to get to know people. I'm willing to get to know people. And that's what I keep telling guys on the first date, that, look, I'm not looking to be in a relationship right now. Yeah. And every guy so
far... We're just here planting seeds.
Yeah, every guy so far does not seem to understand what I'm saying. Because they keep asking me out. And I'm like, I need you to understand. Yeah. This is a friend zone situation. Yeah. Like, we are not doing anything.
It's painful.
But anyway...
I know how I feel, guys. It's painful.
No, so this year I'm vowing to stay single so I can focus on my life and I can pursue dreams that I can't pursue when I'm with someone. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I really am excited for this year.
Oh, that's
very
awesome.
Excited. Yeah. And what are your dreams, T? What are you planning on doing?
Well, this year is the year that I really want to put out a film.
Ooh,
and or a TV series that I've produced and star in.
Wow.
I think I've come to that point now where nothing really interests me anymore on TV in terms of working for other people. Local productions for me, there are some amazing ones out there at the moment that are telling like
incredible
really amazing stories, right? But I don't see myself in any of them.
You don't relate to the characters.
Well, I mean, I relate to the characters and everything else. All I'm saying is I just don't see myself, and not as a way of putting them down. I'm just saying...
You don't see something that you would be involved in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like I've come to that point where enough about feeling bad, enough about complaining about the industry. What am I doing to change the industry?
Oh, I love that.
Am I going to leave a mark, or am I just going to leave here saying how bad it is? What am I doing to fix it? What are the solutions? Yes, we all see the problems, but am I coming up with a solution? So this is the year that I want to test my theories when it comes to solutions for my particular industry, which is film and television.
Yeah.
And also, I want to give more. This is my year of giving. I've decided that while I'm waiting on the getting, which I'm going to get anyway, I want to give a lot more. So I'm setting up a lot of things that I can do for people in the place that I come from, which is Mamelodi. Acting classes, career guidance for kids, signing up with a non-profit organization.
I love that.
To raise funds, you know, to help feed the poor, to help clothe the poor, and just giving of my time. I've got so much life experience and so much knowledge that I'd like to share with people.
Yeah,
and that's
amazing,
what I'm
gonna do. But I think that's also taking into effect the five principles we just learned from the movie.
Yeah.
And that's one is service.
Yeah.
You know, being of service to people. Because I think sometimes in life, when you're so busy pursuing your dreams, you almost become selfish, you know, and you stop seeing what around you can change. Because you're like, oh, as soon as I get my first deal, as soon as I get my first show, as soon as I get this. And before you know it, you're lying on your deathbed and you've impacted zero lives because you are so busy chasing.
Exactly.
You know, because they'll always, the goalpost always shifts, right? When you're an ambitious person, you always want more.
You always want more.
Exactly.
You'll get a jet and then you want four.
I'm not Floyd Mayweather, so no.
You know?
But yeah, so we keep moving the goalposts to something else. Whereas we can be like, you know what, in the environment I'm in, with the amount of influence I do have, I can still change lives. And I think that's so important.
And I also think that doing for other people should become a very selfish notion. I'm doing this for me.
Yeah.
Guys, it might seem that I'm doing this for other people.
Yeah.
But
I completely understand.
Selfishly, it's about my healing process. It's about my being able to look in the other direction. You just said now, when you're ambitious, you can want and want and want. And selfishly, I've decided I don't want to want at the moment. I want to give. I want to see how other people have less than what I have and how I can contribute until that feeling of wanting more goes away, until that feeling of inadequacy goes away. When there's someone who's more depressed than you and you're helping that person, it's actually healing your depression. if you want a major growth in your life, start by growing someone else's life first, right? And all the lessons that you're imparting to someone else
are actually happening. You are learning yourself.
You know what I mean? Mm. So, yes, my doing for others is totally a selfish act. And you've got to make it a selfish act. It's got to be about you and what you want to get out of it, being to do as much for other people until the hurt, the pain, the lack goes away.
But I also find that for me personally, working with people and being with people is very fulfilling for myself, because I did another show and they asked me, you know, so why do you do your talks? And sometimes why do you talk for free and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, I'd love to make it seem like I'm this Mother Teresa who's selfless and I just go around giving. But I said, it is actually quite, like what you just said, quite selfish, because I get so much
exactly right
from helping, because I mean, that energy that people give back into you, and
it's like cough mixture for the soul.
Right. Mm. And you feel so good afterwards, and you feel so energized, and you're like, I'm one human being that can impact numerous people. Mm. And I think there's nothing more life-changing than that. When you realize the impact that you can have on others, it's a beautiful thing. And it's something that you're like, wait a minute, you know, I have changed one person's life, which means my life matters.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you were saying.
I mean, another famous saying, and I'm probably going to mess it up because I don't remember it exactly verbatim, but basically, we get a salary or we get rewarded, we get paid for what we do in our careers.
Okay.
But we leave a legacy, and we get a legacy, and we become legends based on what we give.
Mm. And I love that.
You know what I mean?
I love that.
And sometimes, you know, don't ever get fooled by life in getting caught up in the rat race. How many bags do you have? How many red bottom shoes do you have? How many times do you post on Instagram about the kind of trips that you're going on, the villas you're living in, and all sorts of things like that? Because at the end of the day, we get so distracted by that we forget that maybe in 20, 30 years time, those people who were just posting for the sake of posting, we will have long forgotten. That person who probably didn't have the means to post because they weren't going on those overseas trips, right?
They were hustling
or they were busy helping others or doing for others. They got over their need to show off the material things. In 20 years time, even if they might not have had the material things, 30 years time, that we all like lay so much value on, like, just because you've made it in terms of being successful with money, we think, wow, you've really made it. But someone else is right next to you who's doing the same thing, but monetarily, they haven't made it like you have. And we overlook those people, only to find 100 years later, they're the ones who are still relevant. They've left a legacy. You know, I always think of the Van Gogh principle, as the Americans call him, but we call him Van Gogh, the Dutch painter.
Yes,
he died a pauper.
Yes.
You know, he was so depressed because he was making all these amazing paintings and no one was buying them. Can you believe? He was
pretty much
selling them for nothing.
Yes.
And no one was buying them. He got syphilis and he was really depressed and he ended up cutting off his one ear.
Mm.
And he died. 100 years later, someone discovers this guy's paintings.
And now they're worth millions.
Now, just if you have one small A4 sized Van Gogh, it's worth millions of euros.
You said
for life. You never have to work again.
Yeah.
You know, but I can imagine there must have been other painters at the time, right?
Who were being celebrated.
Who were being celebrated. Mm. Guys were making money, you know? They were living in great apartments, drinking French champagne, and selling these half-assed paintings to people, probably rich people, who just bought them for the sake of buying them because they could get them immediately.
Yes.
They could understand it. Because, you know, sometimes the things that last longer are not as easily accessible.
Yes.
On that lowest denominator of the mind and the soul. And that's what I say, like things like soapies, for example. You know, you can as an actor, you can do a soapy and earn money and be relevant right now. Or you can wait for that one movie to come out every 3 years that you get cast for that is important to you.
And it's a story that you feel but you need to tell.
You know what I mean?
You know?
Mm. And, you know, between movies, you're struggling compared to that soapy actor. And even in terms of your relevance in the media or the spotlight, you're pretty much irrelevant. But 30 years later, we're still watching your movies. We don't care
about
the cast list of Generations.
I think it's important. I think it's important to, we're not praising poverty and we're not praising suffering. But I do think it's important to understand that when you're living a life of purpose, it may take you a bit longer to get there, But trust me, that train is never late. It will come when it is supposed to come. And for as long as you remain within the space of hustling and working your butt off and you actually working with conviction.
That's true.
You know, you will get to where the others are, and your legacy will probably outlive those who are selling and settling and taking the shorter way to the purpose and the path. You know, so I think, I don't know, I think everything's got perfect timing. You know, you just need to understand the lessons that are in your path at that particular time. Take the lessons as they are. Say, you know what, today I'm having a crap day. You know, have like a bad day for yourself, a pity party, and then the next day wake up and hustle again, you know, because it's not the end of the world.
That's what you gotta
do. And I think
right?
that's what's important for 2017.
Hallelujah.
Always, you can get up with mud on your face as long as you're getting up. You know, who cares?
You know what I'm saying? Exactly, as long as you're getting up. And you know what? If you got mud on your face, it's like getting
it
a really
you
expensive
done
facial. Because we pay lots of money to go to this bar to get mud on our faces. You know what I'm saying?
So
I'm trying to see if anybody has sent us anything on WhatsApp. Come on, guys. I don't see anything there. But it's fine.
Sweet.
Tusa, what's up, guys?
Tusa
is always out there. And thanks, man. He says,
my
welcome
favorite.
Back, guys. You mean to go check Hacksaw Ridge out? T has just convinced me to finally do it. Yeah, man, go see it. It's going to be
there are a couple of people
dope.
That have checked in and said hello. And we want to say thank you so much, guys, for always tuning in and keeping us, you know, in this business.
Yeah, exactly. And we love and appreciate all of you. So we wish you all
an incredible 2017.
Incredible. Amazing.
We will be there right along with you.
2017. Yes, we
talk
will.
Talk to us. You know, we are your people.
We are. And
slay us. We are your goats.
Okay, I'm going to figure out what that means. I'm not sure I agree with it right now, but I'll let you know next week. For now, like, we're going to say goodbye.
We love you.
We love you guys. Stay locked to Cliff Central, and make sure you come back to the weekly mashup. And if you didn't catch
you
the full
week.
Show, you know you got it on the podcast. We out. T-Pain saying,
yes.
Look at me.
Look at me.
Why
baby.
The hell not?
Bye.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.